be all you've got. The blues.
Yeah, we do. You can bet on it. Sean Mullins, Give God the Blues. We all do. 11 minutes after the hour, it's Broken Road Radio Friday morning. I'm Jim Park and Dave Donald Punch in the newsroom, Ruminating News, and we have a special guest. We're just delighted to present to you Jeremy McAdams of Cherry Treehouse Mushrooms, and they're based down in Maplewood, Minnesota. And Jeremy, just so you know, we're not actually in Minnesota. David and I have declared independence from the state of Minnesota. We're now East Dakota, out in this region.
Ah, I see.
And so it's okay to ship mushrooms across the East Dakota border. I just want you to know that, and encourage you to come on up here. And what you actually distribute mushrooms in lots of ways. I'm going to let David, because David's met you before. David, go.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we're going to introduce David now.
Well, everybody knows
yeah,
David.
Yeah, and East Dakota you might say it's a state of mind.
It's a virtual state
that we haven't asked for to secede yet. But we're just very
we don't know where to go to ask for.
Yeah, and we're not sure who to ask.
No.
And I'm not sure if I want to, you know, we're putting that off because if we ask, then we got to do something about that afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to hold elections and we'd have to
National Guard and we'd have to maintain highways.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah,
it sounds like a lot of work and I'm not sure for what. But we like to think of East Dakota as beginning at Highway 10 up in Moorhead. And then, you know, maybe a mile on either side of Highway 10, except where it goes through cities. All the way down to where we are, mm-hmm. and you know, just kind of a test tube looking thing.
Well, we just tell you this because we are encouraging entrepreneurs to move into East Dakota, Jeremy.
Nice.
We'll consider
going up there. There's a lot of wood up there, right?
Yeah.
We have wood. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. about all we have.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know that we, you know, one of the things that I reflected on this after I talked to you last fall at the Mill City Museum Farmers Market is, you know, mushrooms have always been something that either grows in the woods and I don't know if it's going to kill me or not, or it's something I could pick up in the grocery store. But until I talked to you, it never occurred to me that somebody would actually go out and actively try to grow these things on their own. I mean, I know where carrots come from and I know where steaks come from, but mushrooms, you know, I guess I'd never thought about it. And that's just something. Now, mushrooms, you're starting your company and you started it, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, 2009.
Okay. Do you go to the store and buy mushroom seeds, or do mushrooms have seeds? I mean, I guess I'm
more or less
extremely
yeah.
ignorant about the whole process. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can get seeds from there are people who produce what we call spawn, which is basically the mushroom organism growing on some medium like sawdust, and basically you expose the wood to that stuff. So there are different ways of doing that. The way that I do that generally is by drilling holes all around the log on the outside of the bark, mm-hmm. and I put that stuff in there.
So did you originate that process? Was that your idea?
Oh no, it's gone back. That technique has been used for at least a century, starting in East Asia, Japan, and maybe China.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, so how is it, how do you tell which ones are going to kill you?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're not sure, then I would not eat them.
that narrows that down, okay.
It narrows that down. You know, when you actually inoculate with these mushrooms, like, say, shiitake, you know, You have a pretty good idea that that's what's going to be coming out of there, but there are also visual signs and also things you can tell from the spores that they send out, what color they are. You know, there's some different clues like that, and it's like you probably heard about morels. You know, identifying morels.
It's a great hobby up here. You go into the woods and you find morels. Yeah.
Oh, Yeah. And, you know, if you go the right time and you get those, what you think is a morel, you cut it in half. And that's what you may have. I'm not going to give you, you know, recommendations about how to identify those, but
it would be dangerous.
Know, there's a false morel and there's a regular morel. So you look for those lookalikes whenever you're identifying a mushroom that's going to be edible.
Mm-hmm. Now my way of staying upright and breathing as far as morels or mushrooms are concerned is you buy some in the grocery store.
Well, that's a pretty good pretty good way of doing it.
Yeah, I guess you know I've never eaten something I've picked up out of the woods.
I would get a if I was going to do that I would go with someone who really know what they were doing, and go with a healthy dose of caution.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Even when I've gone with somebody that says they know what they're doing, I'm not sure if I believe that they know what they're doing, because even then sometimes they have doubts.
Well, people who routinely hunt morels are a little odd anyway. So you go out in the woods with us, you can't
well,
be sure.
Well, I'd say that, I mean, that's one of the benefits. You know, you asked earlier, David, about my log kits. You know, I have these kits which are really it's the same logs that I use to grow all my shiitake. So they're about a year old. They've gone through that whole process. They're ready to fruit mushrooms pretty much right away. So those are a nice way of you know, it's not going to the store. You can grow your own, but you know you have some you can have some confidence that you're going to get some shiitake out of that rather than some.
This is a way you could add mushrooms to your own home garden then. I mean, you're out there planting tomatoes and other things, and that time is coming up despite the snow we have around here in East Dakota. Soon we'll be digging into the brown earth. So we could just get a log. How long is this log?
Usually they're about a foot long.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the logs that I use are about 4 foot long, but you can actually get quite a few mushrooms off of one of these kits.
And do they keep producing? So you'll get a crop and you can harvest and they keep coming up.
They keep producing for 2 or 3 years easily.
How long does it take to grow a mushroom?
Between a week and 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Really?
They come up pretty quickly once they're ready.
So if you get a log or two, you could be outfitted for the whole season. I mean, they'll produce through the summer months into the fall, I would assume. Okay. And you keep them outside?
Yeah, you keep them outside. They particularly fruit in the spring and the fall, but you can also do what we call force fruiting. You basically soak it in cold water a couple times a year, and that'll make them produce quite a few mushrooms all at one time. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of choose when you're gonna harvest those.
Is there a particular kind of log that works better than others?
Oak works particularly well with shiitake, but it depends on the type of mushroom you want to grow. You know, oysters are another one that I grow, and those do really well on aspen trees.
Mm, really? Now, I don't think I would know the difference between shiitakes and something else, except they look different if you hold them next to each other. Now the mushrooms that are $1.89 at Cub, and they're round and they get a fairly solid stem. Those are called button mushrooms.
Yeah, they're actually that's a variety of agaricus mushroom, which is that's comparable. I mean, that's kind of a species, as shiitake is a species, as oyster is a species. They're called button mushrooms because they're in the button form, which means they're young. You know, they're sort of semi-developed mushrooms. So you have button form of all sorts of mushrooms.
Hmm. So if the mushroom, the mushroom I get out of the store, of course, has stopped growing, I would think.
No.
Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. If they were allowed to continue to grow, what would they look like?
Kind of like portobellas.
Really?
Yeah, cremini are actually a button form of portobella.
Okay. Hmm.
Interesting.
So if you let it grow, it would become a portobella. It's the same mushroom. Hmm.
Now, you said right now that there are industries that supply a great name. I mean, somebody's got to put shrink wrap over these little boxes. So, I mean, they got to come from somewhere, and it's mostly a United States industry, or does everybody make mushrooms everywhere?
I don't know too much about some of the markets in South America, Central America, but I can tell you that a lot of mushrooms come from China and to a lesser extent Japan. I believe China is the leading exporter of mushrooms. Hmm. But you know, they're in the United States. I don't actually compete that much with the producers in East Asia. It's mostly the East and West Coast, so Pennsylvania and Oregon are the main shiitake producers of the country.
Now, they grow in caves in Pennsylvania, don't they? I've seen something about that.
Yeah, I think that's the old, some of the button mushrooms, the agaricus, mm-hmm. they grow in caves.
It's like acres in old mines or something that they set up.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, the shiitake producers out there grow them in large warehouses in a sawdust and wood chip combination in plastic bags.
Not in manure, huh?
No.
Okay, I was
any shiitake. There are different kinds of mushrooms that grow on different things. So you have shiitake, grow on wood. So whether it's a wood chip or, like in my case, on logs, and then you have others that grow like your agaricus, your button mushrooms that grow on soil or manure, and then you have ones that are in between, like the morels, like a woody soil. So mm-hmm. there, it's actually just a combination of those two.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hmm. Well, that kind of brings us to what you're doing, because you have a kind of a farm set up there.
That's
right. And you're growing. You're a growing concern. I know you supply mushrooms to a lot of the restaurants around the Twin Cities area, and you've participated in the past in farmers markets. So, I mean, there's a growing demand. How are you keeping up with that?
Well, it's hard. I keep having to make some changes in order to make that, to keep growing. Because there is, like you said, there is a great demand for shiitake and a whole lot of other mushrooms. So, right now I just moved to a new farm actually in Ham Lake. Probably since we last saw each other at the farmer's market, and then this new space is allowing me to grow. But in order to do that, I need to upgrade some things. So we just launched a Kickstarter campaign, which for your listeners who aren't familiar, it's an online fundraiser called Kickstarter, where you can go in there, see what my project is, and if you like what you see, you can pledge a certain amount to help me out with that project. And then usually people accept rewards of one sort. So some dried mushrooms, a visit to the open house where you can mm-hmm. see the finished project, and so on. What we're raising money for is shiitake fruiting house, which is, you already mentioned caves or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's this protected environment for the mushrooms to grow. When we're about ready to fruit the shiitake, they need a really sheltered environment for the highest to maintain the highest quality of those mushrooms. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's basically a hoop house that will keep all these, they'll be the best environment possible.
Kind of like a greenhouse. I imagine you have to keep mushrooms in a shaded area. You don't want sun on them.
Yeah.
And yet moisture is important. So.
Yeah, it's a shaded greenhouse, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you need to build some structures on this new farm. Now, how can people see what you're doing? How can they learn about you?
Yeah, I mean, you can visit me on Facebook, Cherry Treehouse Mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
or you can see my site, which is www.cherrytreehousemushrooms.com, and then of course you can go to Kickstarter now. And just type in Cherry Treehouse Mushrooms, and you'll see our project and what we're trying to do.
Okay, so when you say go to Kickstarter, that's a website, I presume.
Yeah, it's www.kickstarter.com.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess there you would find a variety of people trying to raise money for their own purposes. And this would be a way to take part in just a great business. Now, this is essentially an organic business, isn't it?
That's right. I'm not organically certified, mm-hmm. although I've started to look into doing that. We hope to get certified by next year.
Okay.
But we've been following, you know, all the organic practices, such as I understand, mm-hmm. All along. You know, so that means not using treated wood. It means not using any fungicides or pesticides, mm-hmm. you know, and so forth.
So, but at this point, people could go to, say, your website. In fact, I'm just clicked on there now. You've got a gorgeous website.
Oh, thank you.
There's a lot of information here, too, and it's nicely organized. A lot of photos, and I haven't had time yet to go through it and really look at maybe mushroomology. Do you have some mushroomology-type information on there? Can we study mushrooms?
We've got some information for people who want to get started on mushroom cultivation,
okay.
with logs in particular.
Mm-hmm. So people can order a log from you.
You can't order online because okay. I don't deliver mushrooms like mm, okay. logs like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find them at a couple of garden stores in the Twin Cities,
okay.
Mother Earth Gardens and Eggplant Farm Supply, and then of course you can always find them at the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'll be at Mill City Farmers Market this year.
Well, see, we're on the fringes of civilization here. We're on the edge of uncharted territory. I'm wondering how we get Jeremy up here with his mushrooms. I want some.
That's a good question. Now, the aim of your business is going to be to sell logs or to sell mushrooms or a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both, but my main business is selling mushrooms.
Okay, and you know, what you hope to get into? What grocery stores or you know, farmers markets? And you're already there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I actually right now we sell. We've been selling for a few years now to restaurants and grocery stores, mostly grocery co-ops like Seward and Wedge co-ops down here,
mm-hmm.
And then the Mill City Farmers Market. And then last year we started something I'm excited about. It's are you guys familiar with community supported agriculture or CSA farms?
I've heard of it. I've never looked into it in detail.
I saw that referenced on your website, and now I don't know anything about it.
Well, basically, you know, if you like vegetables, you can team up with a vegetable farm. And every week for 20, 22 weeks, you'll get a box of vegetables.
Hmm.
What we've done is we paired up with two, and then this year three farms that you know, that are doing that. And so now if you're a member of that CSA, you can also check the box for a mushroom CSA. And every other week or once a month, you'll get a quarter pound or half pound of mushrooms from us.
Mm-hmm. And is that an exchange for labor or money or either?
Yeah, it's a monetary
okay.
thing. So
okay.
they, you know, they get a little bit of that for, you know, bringing those customers.
It's kind of like a subscription sort of thing then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the CSA box, you know, I don't know what the range is, but maybe a box is between mm-hmm. $300 and $600,
mm-hmm.
You know, for... Okay. You know, a huge number of vegetables,
yeah.
And then the mushroom CSA boxes are shares. I believe are somewhere between $50 and a little over $100.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking that your mushroom logs though have tremendous potential. You just need to figure out a way to get them there. And I'm thinking maybe people can cut their own logs.
You know,
you would have a little kit. You would ship the spores and maybe a whatever device you use to inject it into holes, maybe the right drill bit along with instructions on how to do it. Could you do this inside, say, a basement?
You know, it's doing this indoors is a bit dodgy because mm-hmm. you know, really the best environment for log cultivation is outside.
Okay, so a shady spot on your property and.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Or you know, I'll put a plug for my my seed supplier, if you will. Field mm-hmm. and Forest Products is in Wisconsin have kits like that where
oh, okay.
you get the drill bit, you know, the seeds, the, you know, everything you need
mm-hmm.
and they'll send that to you. All you need to do, all you need otherwise is the wood.
Okay, so they would say go cut a 2-foot log or whatever length, and this is how you do it. You drill these holes, you put this in, and then you watch the mushrooms grow, and then you eat them.
Yep, that's right. And the time to get the wood is, if you're thinking about doing something like this, you want to try it, I would cut the wood very soon because mm-hmm. you really want to do that in the dormant season.
Okay. Well, that's intriguing, and I think homegrown mushrooms just sounds like a neat idea, because it can't be a whole lot of work. I mean, you don't water and fertilize and hoe and keep weeds out. They just grow there.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're starting your own, you do need to keep them wet, watering them once a week or something.
Spray bottle like or something? Tomatoes. A little spray bottle would do that?
Yeah, something like that, the thing that I recommend for folks doing this on a small level is just, you know, if you have a pretty short one, you can just stick it in just soak it for an hour.
Mm, okay.
And then that really gets the water right all the way into the log, mm-hmm. and it's not a lot of work.
Okay. This sounds like a neat idea. David, what do you think?
I think it's a neat idea, and which is one of the reasons I went over and talked to him in the first place. Yeah, and I haven't gone about drilling my holes yet. I guess I'm not sure what's holding me back, but who knows? I mean, it could be a philosophical question.
Could be laziness too, David. Here,
what's holding Dave back? What's the deal with that? The difference between the mushrooms you're talking about, and I've heard people rave on and on and on about morels and how they taste this and that and unique and preparing them this way and all the rest of that stuff. But yeah, I'm used to the, you know, standard button mushrooms, and occasionally I get, I'm not even sure what to call them, but they're long and slender, and some of the smaller ones are a little bit larger than a wooden pencil. And they're generally about that shape, except the cap has got a little, almost like a little hat on it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the taste difference? Is there something to look for? I could sit here and tell you the difference between what a Chardonnay tastes versus Cabernet. So I would think there's probably something like that in mushrooms.
Oh yeah, I actually haven't tried. I believe it's enoki you're talking about, which are still think are mostly grown in East Asia. I actually haven't tried those, but yeah, there is definitely a different flavor profile, you know, of most mushrooms. So, you know, the shiitake have this very rich, very full kind of flavor that pairs really well with like beef or things like that, or in miso soup or, something like that. Oysters have a lighter, but very, also very flavorful, kind of sweet, kind of flavor. And then, you know, another one I grow is Namaco, which has a kind of cashew-like flavor. So,
oh, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
Now, and I do see a lot of dried mushrooms available in plastic bags. Do you lose something in the flavor when that happens?
Oh, no. You don't lose anything with the flavor. If anything, you're concentrating the flavor a little bit. Mm. So even when you reconstitute them by soaking them in water for an hour or two, you know, it's still, the flavor is there, but the texture, you have it, you know, you can't just use that for any dish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I did actually use some sheet. I had a mix of all those, all three of those dried that I reconstituted again and sauteed, and then we threw them on pizza and it was great, mm-hmm. you know, so. There are some things like that you can do. You just got to take a little bit of care with it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if mushrooms, and I never thought of this, but I always put mushrooms on something else. I always mix them into things. Mm-hmm. I'll bet they would be good all by themselves. Just some sauteed mushrooms, a little red wine in there, some butter maybe, and a little garlic, a little caraway.
Yep.
And
Yeah, one of my favorite dishes is mushroom bruschetta, which is, you know, you chop up the fresh mushrooms, you saute them with some olive oil and garlic,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it on top of a baguette with some Parmesan cheese on top, and it really just highlights the mushrooms.
What's the nutritional content of mushrooms? Is it good for you?
Oh yeah, a lot of protein. I mean, this is this is a something, you know, that you could use instead of meat for a meal. Mm-hmm. It's very protein rich. Plus, there's a lot of vitamins, vitamin A, and so on. And then, of course, there are all these antiviral and immune enhancing effects of mm-hmm. them, and you know, and then from there on, it depends on the mushroom, you know, and these are the ones I just described, you know, that I grow. The button mushrooms, I think there is some protein in them, but not a whole lot nutritionally otherwise going for them.
Mm-hmm. Does price necessarily indicate availability with mushrooms? Because I've noticed some, like shiitakes, can get pretty expensive. And there are one or two other kinds I've seen around. And again, remember, we're living on the edge of civilization, so we don't have the same selection you see down in the Twin Cities. But is it worth the money? I mean, if you like it, it's worth it, huh?
You know, I really would say that for the most part, it's not so much about distribution. You know, the cost of distribution in our country is, I think, artificially low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the thing that's really, you know, increasing the cost of those specialty mushrooms is just that it's very expensive to grow. So, you know, I get a lot of questions from other farmers or customers that I must be doing really well because these seem so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the costs are quite high for doing this kind of farming.
What does it cost to set up a log with the spore and you know, a kind of a kit to get started?
Oh, that's a good question.
I know you're not shipping them out. You're not formally in that business in a big way.
Sure.
But if somebody comes to you and says, "I want a mushroom log," they get the log and the spore and instructions, I suppose. But to me, it seems it wouldn't cost any more really to grow shiitakes than it would to grow button mushrooms or some other kind.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, that the difference in cost there is volume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my understanding is that the, you know, button mushroom operators there's a huge amount of mechanization that's involved in that to speed up the process.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of like, you know, Amazon with all of its mechanization and whatever is able to really bring down the cost of delivering things to you because of that that kind of equipment.
Well, you could use that Amazon idea of drone delivery.
You
have to have a pretty hefty drone, though, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it's hard for me to take a guess at the cost of a kit, but I would guess if you're gonna want something like that, a kit to make your own, grow your own mushrooms, it might be, you know, $10 to $20. One of my kits that is already ready to fruit is, you know, just a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's doable, and I want to encourage people to certainly visit your website and help you with this Kickstart drive. I think this is a fascinating business, and I think lots of potential here. David, go ahead. I'm sorry. You had.
Yeah, no, you were breaking up. I was.
Oh well, yeah. I just want to get your mic working there too, because
making
it's
a little
it's
noise,
roaring. So this going on. Yeah,
we're learning the intricacies and eccentricities of Skype. I'm on your website and looking at the different pictures of the mushrooms that you've got, and now these are the ones that you've grown yourself.
Sure.
I'm thinking you took the pictures. So, these are the mushrooms I've never seen in the stores. And your explanation that the ones that we buy in the store, especially the $1.89 a pound or half pound, are actually immature. I mean, they haven't been allowed to grow. The ones that are in the picture are mature mushrooms, and I see that they're, you know, that they look radically different. I mean, it's not just sort of different. I mean, there's the makos are red. How do you know when they're ripe?
Well, it's the same kind of it's the same way that I can tell that shiitake are ripe. You know, the cap has separated from the stem, but they're still concave underneath. So, you know, at some point they'll flatten out and they'll sporulate. So mm-hmm. you want to get them before they do that.
Are the stems as edible as the caps? Do you use those too?
It depends on the mushroom.
Okay.
You know, those enoki you were talking about, they're all stem, you know, so mm-hmm. I would totally eat the stem.
Mm-hmm.
The shiitake, the stem is kind of tough. I throw those in the stock.
Good idea. Yeah, good idea. Don't
waste oysters, you can eat most of the stem.
Okay. Fascinating stuff, mushrooms. Yeah, and I'm looking at your Kickstarter page right now, and there's a video there to play, and you can contribute and back the project of $1 minimum pledge. And, well, Jeremy, we wish you the best with this. You got some beautiful photos there. Wow.
Thank you, Jim and David. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you all today.
Okay. Yeah, good luck with this project. This sounds interesting.
We wish you well, and we want to keep in touch, and maybe we can have you back sometime, see how your Kickstarter campaign is progressing, and so stay in touch, okay?
I'd enjoy that. Thanks very much.
Jeremy McAdams of Cherry Treehouse Mushrooms. They have a website of their own. It's cherrytreehousemushrooms.com, and you go there, you can link right to the Kickstarter page and maybe give them a hand with a very worthwhile and fascinating project. Jeremy, take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Music from Dick Tunney at the piano.